All right, good evening, everyone. We are knee deep in the Avodah of Hachana for Rosh Hashanah. I want to pick up on a theme which I began to develop in the shiur yesterday, but developed with some added dimensions tonight, Be'ez Hashem. Let me begin by talking about the concept of a chinuch in learning a sefer. Great svarim are not just read. They have to be learned up. And there's a chinuch how to learn up a sefer. And a great Rebbe is able to teach Talmidim how to really tease out the meaning of a given sefer. Not just to read the words, but to kind of read what's between the lines and even trace the pattern of thought of the Mechaber and, so to speak, what the Mechaber seems to be saying in the broader sugyas and so forth. When it comes to a putner sefer Pachad Yitzchak, I was zeicher to receive a very, very special chinuch from my Rabbi Reb Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan. Reb Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan is one of the premier Talmidim of Rav Huttner in the final tekufa of Rav Huttner's Havatzis Taira. For Baltimore historians to know, he and Rav Ezer were in the same class. He was very pained when I told him about my Rabbi Rav Ezer's Patira, the same class here in TA. Rav Chaim Yitzchak went on to become a very, very great Talmud Chacham in both Nigla and Machshava and so forth. He's now the Mashgiach in Chevron Yeshiva, as well as one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yonasan David's handpicked successor. And he was extremely close to Rav Huttner, even in the world of Chaim Berlin, which is a very tight world. Rav Chaim Yitzchak has a stature by himself. And Baruch Hashem, I was Zeichali Kanis. He was very inviting to me and sat down with me and taught me how to learn up a piece of Pachad Yitzchak in a very deep way, and how to be medayik and read the words of Rav Huttner precisely, but more of it to be mechadish in Rav Huttner, to be able to take lines and phrases in Rav Huttner and to expand and create, weave together a broader tapestry based on even studying the citations of Rav Huttner, which Sukkim Rav Huttner brings, developing those citations organically in their context to thereby appreciate the whole architecture of the Maimer. So what I'm gonna do tonight, really teasing out about two lines of Pachad Yitzchak, and that's it, really citation of two Pesukim. This is exhibiting such an exercise. The ideas are mine, but certainly the sensitivity to learn up a Pachad Yitzchak this way, for that I am deeply indebted to my Rabbi Reb Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan. Rav Huttner discusses a very basic idea, we were talking about this last night, that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tovu Meitiv, everything he does is from the place of love, chesed, never anything else. Din itself is from a place of consummate love. Hashem's judgment of the season, and he develops it from the following perspective. Hashem wants us to grow. Hashem wants us to become great. Midas Hadin is the exacting standards he gives, because he has high aspirations for us. You see, he believes you're great and I'm great, and he doesn't want a mediocre yid. Right, he has a great eternity in store for us. And as Midas Hadin is kind of, use the analogy you want, I don't want to say a coach because it's just trivial, but you get my idea, he's coaching us, right, with a firm standard of behavior. He's not allowing a mediocre standard. And Rav Huttner derives this idea powerfully from a pasuk in Amos. This is the Navi Amos Parak Gimel, where the Navi says, Rak eschem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama. Klal Yisrael, I know you alone. Right? Yediyah, of course, means love, intimacy, chibur, vayedah, damasishta. Klal Yisrael, you alone are mine from all the nations of the world. Al kein efkur aleim esavonoseichem. That's why I'm scrutinizing your sense. You know why I'm scrutinizing your sense? Because you're mine. Escham yadati mikol ha'am. Mikol mishpachos ha'adam. I'm scrutinizing your deeds because you're mine. How ironic. But that is exactly the point. Because we're his, because we're like this with him, that's why he scrutinizes our behavior. That's why he judges us. Right? He has high aspirations for us. Think of the social commentary which is given. In a world, the America of the 20th century, 21st century, certainly the latter 20th century, 21st century, which is so hyper-focused on discrimination and such issues. Well, there's an expression in social science. The social science is called the subtle discrimination of low expectations. When an individual or a group basically is not held to any standards, and even given certain privileges because, you know, you can't work on it, you can't earn it the hard way, right? And it's considered very, very demeaning. What you're basically saying is, you know, you're not capable of education, so we just got to give you freebies, right? This is a problem in chinuch, believe it or not. A child who isn't disciplined by their parents in misplaced kindness, you know what's going on? The child is subliminally absorbing the message, forgive me for saying it, you're a loser. You're not capable. I don't have standards for you. Right? And the child takes that to heart, Chalila. Well, the Ribono Shel Olam never wants a yid to believe he's a loser. Right? His standards on his midas hadin is because he's invested in something big with us here. Powerful pasuk and citation of Rav Huttner in explaining the din of Rosh Hashanah. That totally reframes how he relates to the din of Rosh Hashanah. Right? As an aspiration to be great, not as something depleting the self, but something elevating the self. And as I pointed out last night, Rav Huttner simply quotes the pasuk and applies it to Rosh Hashanah. But I believe when we study the fullness of the pasuk and its greater context, the Rosh Hashanah associations are almost magical. For starters, how does it describe Hashem's din here? Because you're mine. Because you alone I know, therefore I judge you. It says, Efkod Aleichem Avonaseichem. I remember your sins. Pekida. Well, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explicitly tells us that Pekida is a synonym for Zikaro and can be related to Yom HaZikaro in Rosh Hashanah. That is why Hashem Pakad Asara, Hashem remembering Sara, is intuitively understood as an event which happened on Rosh Hashanah. So by the same token, this pasuk's expression, I love you, therefore I remember your sins, Efkod Aleichem Eschatoseichem, ought to be read as Rosh Hashanah. But that's only a first note. Listen with your sensitive ear. Actually, you don't even need a sensitive ear. It's almost explicit. In Amos Paragimel, you read 3 psukim later. It says, "Im yitaka shofar b'yer b'hamol yachradu." If a shofar is blown, does not everyone quake? Now that pasuk is brimming with Rosh Hashanah. If I ever heard a pasuk brimming with Rosh Hashanah, a shofar blown, people quaking, trembling. Here in the context of I love you, therefore I'm judging you, the psukim go on to say a shofar is blown, people are quaking. Do you not see Rosh Hashanah written all over that kapitel? And let's understand how powerful this is. Right? All the associations which we have with Rosh Hashanah, the scrutinizing of sin, Efkod Aleichem Eschatoseichem, the quaking, the shaking, the shofar, the entire experience which an Erel Chayit has on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah experience, the Erel Chayit, which is authentic. We're supposed to relate to it this way. The din is real. The din is fierce. But it's all seen now when we integrate this narrative as a whole, as an expression of the fact he loves us. We're his. Yedati Eschem Mikol Mishpachos Ha'adamah. And that's why I'm doing this to you. Do you see how when you integrate these references together, it just reframes the entire Rosh Hashanah and that whole intense experience. He's elevating me. He's not depleting me. He has high aspirations for me, not the alternative, right? How much meaning lies in a seemingly unassuming citation of Rav Huttner? But it gets better. Rav Huttner cites a second pasuk. Rav Hunter fixates really on this pasuk. The pasuk which we say within the kapitel immediately prior to the kiyas, Lamnat Seach Levnei Korach, right? Look, that hallowed kapitel said in a very hallowed moment, Lamnat Seach Levnei, right? And it speaks thereof, Yivchar Lano Asnach Lasenu Es Gaon Yaakov. It speaks of Gaon Yaakov, the exalted state, the regal state of the Jewish people, Gaon Yaakov. Rav Hutner believes this is a seminal Rosh Hashanah pasuk and therefore recited before Tekiyos. Hashem has his eye on Gaon Yaakov, on us becoming great. Says Rav Hutner, you know why? Because that's what the din is all about. It's not about beating anyone down. It's about making Yidden great. Gaon Yaakov. So says Rav Hutner. I'm going to assert once again, so much lies embedded in this seemingly unsuspecting citation of Rav Hutner. Because what is the totality of that pasuk which we recite before Tekiyos? Yivchar lanu es nachlasenu es gaon Yaakov asher ohev. The exaltedness of Yaakov whom he loves. It is so clear that it is from a place of love that he is judging, coaching, scrutinizing us, demanding a high aspiration of behavior. It's all from a place of love. This is woven into the very fabric of the experience of Tekiyah Shofar. Gaon Yaakov means he literally wants us to be Gaonim, people of excellence. In all of Havayita, in all of personal development, we're in the big leagues. We Jews are supposed to be Gaonim, great Gaonim. Gaonim doesn't mean to be a Chaim Ozer and be a Gaonim all of Shas. It means to be a person of excellence in everything, in relationships, in Yerushalayim, right? In everything, right? Accomplishment. It's because we're in the high stakes league and he loves us that he's doing this whole thing, powerful. And I would like to take this all a few steps further. The more we mull on Gaon Yaakov, after all, Rav Hutner says in the Maamar that Gaon Yaakov is a big Rosh Hashanah pasuk. He one of the reasons why he mulls over it so much is he has a little bit of a question. He says, every yontif marks something in Jewish development, and you have some sort of pasuk or verse of Yaakov Yisrael that correlates to what he says. Pesach, the redemption of Klal Yisrael, you could say that to that you could apply the verbiage Gal Yisrael, redeems the Jewish people. Shavuos Matan Torah, where Rav Hutner applies the words in the liturgy Hamalami Torah Lama Yisrael. Pesach, he's redeeming Yisrael. Shavuos, he's teaching Torah Hamal Yisrael. Right? Sukkos, first Yom Kippur, he's redeeming Klal Yisrael, and it happened in Jewish history after the Yegel. Right? He relates this to, right, various expressions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Soleach L'Hamal Yisrael, it says, right? Sukkos, when Hashem protects Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, says Rav Hutner, you could apply to that the words in the Siddur, Shomer Amo Yisrael. The Siddur of the Pasuk, Shomer Amo Yisrael. But says Rav Hutner, Rosh Hashanah doesn't seem to be an experience in Jewish development. It doesn't seem to be a story about Yaakov Yisrael, God's creation of the world. Yet says Rav Hutner, it must somehow have a relationship to Yaakov Yisrael in Jewish development. Says Rav Hutner, this is the Pasuk, Gaon Yaakov. You know what this Yantav is about? This Yantav is about not him redeeming us, not him teaching us, not him forgiving us, not him guarding us. It's about him aspiring for us to be great. And hence the verbiage in the Pasuk, we said before the kids, Gaon Yaakov is its Jewish development. And I'm going to observe parenthetically, if you accept the Putner structure, it's very interesting Because Gaon Yaakov is the least overt. You know, when Hashem, Gaal Yisrael, when on Pesach, Hashem redeems us. He intervenes and redeems us. It's clear. Malami Torah Lami Yisrael, again at Har Sinai, he reveals himself, teaches the Aseret HaDibros. You know, Kippur Hashem is forgiving us, it's clear. Right? Shomer Amo Yisrael, Hashem protects us with our name. Gaon Yaakov, is it clear that he's making us great? I mean, a din is going on. He's not really directly making us great. He's giving us the opportunity to become great. But yes, and that's exactly the idea. The fact that it's not a story in the overt Jewish development is, I think, exactly the point. It's not something overt, right? It's that a human experience that Hashem is judging to Klal Yisrael evokes in us an aspiration to be great. Hashem is leading us to be great. And the drive for greatness has to come within us. Hashem can just insinuate it to us, right? He's not revealing himself in Rosh Hashanah as the cultivator of Gaon Yaakov. By judging, he is luring us to become great. You see, I have a standard of behavior. You could be Gaon Yaakov. Bottom line is, Rav Hunter is fixating on Gaon Yaakov. So I'm taking this as an invitation to think about it more. Mulling on this, I couldn't help but think Gaon Yaakov seems to introduce Yaakov into the picture. Of all the others, Yaakov into the picture. You know why I find that surprising? Which Av would you most associate Rosh Hashanah with? Without a doubt, Yitzchak. Yitzchak's Midas Din. Yitzchak is the protagonist of the Akedah, which we perpetually evoke on Rosh Hashanah. First day of Rosh Hashanah is the Kriya about his birth, and so forth. And this means then, it's the Yontif of Yitzchak all around, right? And yet Rav Hutner is saying the signature pasuk about Rosh Hashanah is Gaon Yaakov. Seems to be this pivoting from Yitzchak now into Yaakov territory. And this is merely our first clue. The pattern continues. I want to ask you a question. How was the din of Rosh Hashanah described in Tehillim? The pasuk, which is arguably the most explicit depiction of the din of Rosh Hashanah, is the pasuk of Tehillim. What is it? Tehillim Mem Gimel, right? Tiku b'chadosh shayfar b'kasaliyam chagenu ki chayk li Yisrael hu mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. The Gemara says, "But Aruch Hapshat." This is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. We're blowing the shofar. It's mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is called the mishpat of the God of Yaakov. Clearly, that echoes up the goal of Yaakov. He's judging as the God of Yaakov. Yaakov, what do you mean? He's judging as the God of Yitzchak. No, the God of Yaakov. But I would have associated the Rosh Hashanah with Pachad Yitzchak. No, the God of Yaakov. And you find many other Yaakov clues quietly creeping up here. What is Yaakov's mita? The mita of Emes, Titein Emes LeYaakov. Well, the liturgy on Rosh Hashanah, both the Kiddush and Shmona Esri, resounds with Emes. Ki atah Elokim Emes utvarach Emes v'chaim lak. That's a Yaakov reference. Yitzchak is becoming Yaakov, and it gets better than that. This whole pattern gains so much steam in a famous Maamar Zohar. There's a famous Maamar Zohar, so famous that it is cited in many Machzor, which tells us the event at the end of Parshas Tolos, when Yaakov entered to receive the bracha from Yitzchak. Bracha, which was intended for Esav, that happened on Rosh Hashanah, which is very significant in the thought of the Zohar, because this is kind of the formative Rosh Hashanah, which echoes and reverberates every year, where Yaakov triumphs Esav in terms of receiving bracha, being nisparach, right, the interests of Yaakov, pulling the world in this direction rather than pulling the world in that direction, right? But you notice something here. In this seminal Rosh Hashanah event, the din, the judgment of who's going to receive the bracha, is beginning with Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the source, and it's steering towards Yaakov. Don't you see how our pattern, Yitzchak has suddenly become Yaakov, is the wind blowing through this formative Rosh Hashanah event? What begins as a judgment of Yitzchak, a judgment I pachad Yitzchak, is ultimately ending up in the place of Yaakov. Why is that? And what does this represent? And the key is going to be that first reference to Yaakov, Rav Huttner's reference, Gaon Yaakov. Hashem is invested in the Jewish people becoming great here. Let me explain. One of the primal midos of Yaakov, or attributes of Yaakov, are in the words of the Maral, being Adam La'atzma, a person's inner world, human development. The Maral sees the three elves, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, on one level is correlating to the three basic relationships, Bin Adam L'makim, Bin Adam L'chaver, Bin Adam La'atzma. Bin Adam L'makim is the avodah of Yitzchak, the Ola Tmima, who subordinates himself to Hashem in the deepest way, literally tying himself up, surrendering himself to be tied up as a carbon, total bittul in front of Hashem. Avram Eshachesed perfects Bin Adam L'chaveru, and says to Miral, Yaakov, his attribute is Bin Adam La'atzma. There's something called relating to yourself. There's an inner world, there's a self. You come to know yourself. You value yourself, your deepest thoughts, your emotions, your struggles. This is the avodah of Torah, that our own thoughts, our own ruminations become consummately holy. Bein Adam La'atzmo is the avodah of Yaakov. This is why the thought of the Maral, the three pillars of the world, Torah, avodah, and chasadim, correlate in this fashion. Right? That avodah is certainly Bein Adam La'makom, the avodah of Yitzchak, Gvil Sadom is certainly the avodah of Avram. Torah, personal thoughts, ruminations, teasing out a text and Hashem valuing the way we're looking at things, that's Bein Adam La'atzma, right? The inverse according to the Maral is the Gimel Chamurus, the three cardinal sins. Avodah Zar is obviously the inverse of Avodah. It's totally undermining Bein Adam La'makom, snubbing Hashem to take another. The Maral believes that Ritzicha is the epitome of, right, inverting Bein Adam L'chaveru, or hello, killing someone. And interestingly, the Maral believes that Gilui Arayos is the adulteration of Bein Adam La'atzma. He sees Gilui Arayos as a person becoming animalized, cheap. In the thought of the Maral, when a person commits nidah, they really feel icky about themselves, right? They turn to a lustful pleasure rather than a meaningful relationship. There's a deep sense of feeling icky about themselves. You see this very, I always think about this in the story of Shmuel, when that horrible violation occurs when Amnon is Ma'anes and violates his sister Tamar. You see right after the deed, he feels icky about himself, he feels icky about her. Right? When a person is not conducting themselves in the realm of sensitive, the sensitive zone of relationship in an elevated fashion, they are undermining themselves. For our purposes, Yaakov is the avodah of Bein Adam La'atzma. I'm going to argue that's Gaon Yaakov. Hashem is prodding us to be great. Hashem's din, as Rav Huttner was explaining, it's not about asserting himself to lord over us, but rather he's creating a bar and a standard, so in turn we're going to become great. That is why the din, which Bishrasha is connected to Yitzchak, Pachad Yitzchak, is really blowing towards the Yaakov. Hashem is judging to prod us to do the good work and become great, right? And that is why, in the seminal event of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Zohar, Yitzchak, the embodiment of din, is blessing Yaakov and infusing bracha in Yaakov, i.e. the midah of that person, rising to Gaon as himself, Gaon Yaakov, when you think about that echo. That's exactly the idea. I'm going to suggest in a related vein, if you follow the classic correlation in Chazal, and this appears in the Torah, correlating the three regalim to the three avos, Pesach, the Yontif of Amunah, and divine love is connected to Avraham Eshach Chesed. Shavuos, the awesomeness of Har Sinai, is connected to Yitzchak Gvura, and Sukkos, Yaakov Hal Sukkosa, finding protection amidst struggle. Yaakov Hal Sukkosa is connected to Yaakov. So where would you place Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? It's between Shavuos and Sukkos, which means it's between Yitzchak and Yaakov, And in Chodesh Tishrei, with the deep nexus between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, it's impossible not to see a pendulum shift from the Shavuos to the Sukkot. That Rosh Hashanah is in this spectrum here, in this transition of Yitzchak Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin. Hashem, on top, is pivoting towards Ge'on Yaakov. It's a din, so we become great. And that, I believe, is exactly the meaning of this pattern and what lies beneath this unsuspecting reference to Rav Hutner when he says the whole meaning of Rosh Hashanah is Ge'on Yaakov. We are becoming great. It's a din, so we become great. And it's all an echo and a reference back to Yaakov. Go on, Yaakov. And we become great. And on Latzma. Now, this concept, this greater concept that Hashem's din is to make us great, it's not to deplete us, but it's to set a high bar to elevate us, is not only true of the judgment process, but it's in the experience of din throughout life. You know, it's a big job to live this life. Life is beautiful, but it's certainly no bowl of cherries. We live Midas HaDin every day, right? The failures, the struggles, and then hopefully the triumphs, the successes. But Midas HaDin is the experience of life, right? Is it not through those experiences, through those vicissitudes, that we're becoming great? No one is becoming great despite their challenges. Everyone is becoming great through their challenges. The challenges of Midas HaDin own us. After my shiur yesterday, several people confided some very interesting things to me, and someone was discussing with me a really difficult childhood. Really, really difficult childhood. And it was very clear that there is no per se solution. There is no way to expunge from his consciousness those horrible memories. You know, this might be a little bit of debate in the world of psychology, but I am not even particularly appreciative of those fields of therapy which try to replay scenes in your mind and imagine as though it happened differently. Because there's a little, I hate to use the word delusion there, I can only come to terms with what happens if I imagine as though it happened differently. I have to delude myself a little bit, no? I have too much faith in the human being. They know the truth, right? I'll pick an innocuous example. I hope not to cheapen human suffering, okay? It's a group which I'm a little unsympathetic to, forgive me, and that's the environmentalists. And I've heard about some environmentalists, you know, at the end of the day, they're living in 21st century America. They're driving cars, they're polluting the world, right? Well, some of them have a big guilt trip about this. I'm contributing to the carbon footprint. What am I doing to the trees? What am I doing to the ecosystem? The very lungs of the Amazon are being... So they see a therapist. How do I deal with my guilt for polluting the environment? And I'm like, there is so much human pain. There is so much of a need for human therapy for true traumas. Right? You need trauma, but okay. You know, everyone has their own struggles. And the therapist will say, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go hug trees. And when you hug the trees, that will somehow expunge from your mind that you polluted the environment or whatever it is. Now I'm trying to enter the individual's mind. Right? Hugging the tree doesn't really, right, deal with the underlying seed, but the underlying basis of the trauma. Okay, I'm using a relatively benign example. Think about real traumas, right? I don't believe redemption is found in deluding ourselves that it didn't happen. What is the only solution? But it's a solution which a therapist can't really dictate. And I forgot a therapist, a friend, a rabbi, anyone, you can't really dictate. You have to guide the person to arrive in this place themselves. You have to really listen empathetically. What's, of course, the answer? It did happen, and it did hurt, and it has to be mourned. But we come to terms, all of us, with those worst traumas in our life when we could somehow see it was horrible, but I grew through it. Something beautiful emerged from it. Right? That simple truth. All of us, and our very, very deep pains and traumas and struggles in life. I believe we all have the resilience and the ability to face it down, so long as we know that it's leading us somewhere beautiful, right? But the person has to arrive in that place of realization themselves. I actually asked that person yesterday. I said, you and I both know you're a wonderful person. You're a wonderful father, you're a wonderful husband. And I discussed with him some of his achievements. Do you really think that is in spite of those horrible childhood things you're telling me? He said, no. He said, no. It's in that space that I do all my good work, all my Avodas Hashem. And I wanted him to dwell on that realization. I didn't want to dictate it to him. But you see that's so powerful. I find that so redemptive. It's our story. It's the human story. That is where the Midas Hadin makes Gaon Yaakov. I love that. It's horrible. It's painful. There's no running away from it. It's a big job living this life. It's through Midas Hadin. But that's where Gaon Yaakov emerges. Isn't that wonderful? I'll never forget a very saintly individual who said to the effect, I would never exchange the furrow in my brow, my white hairs, because it is what made me, me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that elevating? I don't need to dye my white hair. And I don't simply mean that on a cosmetic level, right? I mean that proverbially, right? I find that wonderful. That's what made me, me. Therein, I believe, lies the only redemption to human suffering. Through Midas Hadin, we become Gaon Yaakov. And I would like to share with you another pattern. How Yaakov Midas Hadin informs this time of year. And how greatness emerges. Ben Alasmo Gaon Yaakov emerges through Midas Hadin. The Svarim teach regarding the first bracha in Shmona Esrei, they hone in on the three appellations, right? The three ways we describe Hashem: Gadol, Gibor, Nora. This really emerges from a pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu calls Hashem Gadol, Gibor, Nora. And not surprisingly, they correlate these three expressions to the three avos. It is, after all, the bracha of avos in Shmona Esrei. Gadol is connected Avram, and that, by the way, makes a lot of sense. Gadol connected Avram, because Gadol, we know in Kabbalah, is associated with Chesed. You see this in the Pasuk, which contains all the spheres. Gadol is a substitute for Chesed, because Chesed is all about expansiveness, creativity, reaching out of self. Gadol is Chesed, that I get. So Gadol is Kenaged Avraham. Gibor is Kenaged Yitzchak. Makes sense too. No, Gvura, that's Yitzchak. Nora, awesomeness, is Kenaged Yaakov. Isn't that surprising? Noros connected Yaakov? Noros in the Russian year, we would have associated it with Yitzhak. But hey, there is a Pasuk. The one Av who used the word Noros Yaakov. When Yaakov wakes up after the dream, right, when he slept in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, in the place he calls Beis, Makom HaMikdash, he says, Ma Nora HaMakom HaZeh, he explains. How awesome is this place? You see, Noros connected to Yaakov. How in the world is Nora conceptually the Midah of Yaakov? Let's hear this. Nora Miloshin Yira, you're right. Yira is really associated with Yitzchak. But that is in terms of the source. The source of Yira. Hashem Midas Hadin. That's Yitzchak. But Nora is not the source, but rather the recipient. Nora, awesomeness, wonder, is the way we behold Midas Hadin and that which is overwhelming. Manora HaMakom HaZeh actually gives space and affirms it's meaningful how we relate to the overwhelming event. The overwhelming as a Midas Hadin is, or a sacred place or sacred space is, it is not so overwhelming as to squelch us that we don't matter. Our reaction to the event matters. That's what awe is all about. Right? That is why Yaakov, whose Mida is being Anam Ma'atzmo, right? He is the one who says, Manora HaMakom HaZeh. He's connected to the Mida of Nora. Now, how splendidly we can embrace the name which Knesset Yisrael applies to the season, Yamim Noraim, days of awe. As Shavuos merges towards Sukkos, as Yitzchak transitions to Yaakov, the days of judgment are days of awe. This is really underscoring Avitz Jesterbrunner's entire thesis. The din is here to evoke something in us. Our response to the din, the awe, the wonderment, the impression which the divine din makes on us. That is exactly the nakuda of Yom Noraim. Focuses on how we respond to Hashem's din more than the din itself, what it evokes in us, and values our reaction. All of the quaking, the shaking, the self-introspection, the taking stock of self, the white hairs in the Midas HaDin in life, right, the furrowed brow, that is the Midah of Noraim, that's Yom Noraim, and it all points back to Yaakov and Rav Huttner's greater thesis. That the din of Rosh Hashanah is really about the fusion of these two psukim. His original pasuk in Amos, Rak eschem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama. Jewish people, you're mine. You alone are mine. Al kein nefgod aleh. I judge you, and you quake in front of a shofar. It's because you're special to me. That is about that. That links to the pasuk of Gaon Yaakov, Hashem's aspiration that we be great. The midah of Yaakov ben Amatzma. Well, let me share with you one more textual clue which ties this linkage together so snugly and all the good work which we did with this piece of Pachad Yitzchak. The concept that Hashem judges the Jewish people, specifically his beloved Jewish people more severely, appears explicitly in the Torah, Chumash Rashi, in the Pasuk. When Yaakov enters Yitzchak Avinu's presence to receive the bracha. And Yitzchak gives him the bracha. And what does he say? V'yitim l'cha l'okim. V'yitim l'cha l'okim yital shmai m'shmai hearts. And what does Rashi say? Yitim l'cha l'okim means b'midas ha'din. Believe it or not, says Rashi, you're going to turn to what Yaakov's consolation prize, Yitzchak's consolation prize to Esav. He doesn't say l'okim. Esav, the umas ha'olam, they sometimes just get gifts. Hashem just gives it to them. Yaakov, Hashem is saying, to Yaakov, Yitzchak is saying, V'yitim l'cha l'okim, only b'midas ha'din. Here we have the notion that Hashem applies din, specifically to his beloved, which on some level is clearly Rav Huttner's idea. Right? Okay. Right? Forgive me for saying it. Right? Right? The discrimination of low-level expectations. Okay, those he's not deeply invested like that. Okay. You know, some of Kabbalah call the Sitra Achra. Right? Throwing, facing the other way, and describe how Hashem throws a gift backwardly, like, I don't care about you. No relationship. That's not what we want. Towards Yaakov, towards the Jewish people, there's a midas hadin through which we receive bracha, a high standard. Well, where is this reference to the yitim l'chalokim appearing? In the bracha to Yaakov, the seminal story of Rosh Hashanah. As we trace this story, when Yitzchak fuses with Yaakov, when Hashem's Midas HaDin becomes really a story of prodding us to be great, becoming Gaon Yaakov. Here we have explicitly in that very context, Rav Huttner's linkage between Pesukim actually is embedded in the very fabric of the seminal event of Rosh Hashanah, when the Midas HaDin of Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov, Gaon Yaakov, Yaakov's aspiration to become great. Yes. The judgment scene become great. So I have high standards for you. It's all from a place of love. Go Yaakov Asher Ahav. And actually that expression of love concerning Yaakov appears perpetually throughout the Navi. Right? I think about many Pesukim in the Navi, which says Hashem tells Yaakov, Yaakov Ahav, the Ace of Sinesi, Yaakov, the one who works hard, but no matter he's the one Hashem loves, because he loves us. He has high standards, we work hard. That echoes up the Go Yaakov Asher Ahav self. That's what the din of this season is all about. really, we could embrace the din, the quaking, the shaking. We could really embrace it wholeheartedly. We are ready to fight and work hard, as long as it's a growth process to become something beautiful. And I will conclude with one story that speaks to me, that impressed this upon me. How did not only the din process of Rosh Hashanah, but living with the intensity of life and everything, the vicissitudes of life, is part of something beautiful and elevating. And this is the message of Rosh Hashanah. And a certain show, which I am connected to, there was a change in the starting lineup. And I don't mean the starting lineup on the baseball field. What is the starting lineup in Shul? The Chazanim on Yom Nuram, their star-studded lineup. The old Chazan went on retirement. And there was a new Chazan. And the new Chazan did a wonderful job. To me, it seemed that the younger Chazan even had a zeiser, sweeter voice than the old Chazan. But you know what I heard Mespalim say? On a Slichas night, after the debut of the new Chazan, right? You know what they said? Now, this Chazan might be sweeter, but the old Chazan, he had a Yiddish krachs in him. Because he was old. He lived life. Right? He lived the Jewish experience. He raised a family. He struggled in life. He knew how to give a good Yiddish krachs. And the Mespal said, that krachs of the old Chazan, that took me to places which a melodious Baal Tevilah can't. And I thought, wow, that is this art which we're developing tonight, right? And all the creative work embedded in this Putner, which we're unpacking and owning for ourselves. Wow, right? It is the krachs, it is that struggle, it is that midas hadin, which makes you who you are. You see, the wrinkled skin and the white hair is part of the music as much as the melodious voice. May we all be zeicha to embrace the din of Rosh Hashanah as the loving Rabbeinu Sha'olam's high aspirations for us to become great. Gaon Yaakov. And may we all thrive through this process, and thereby be zeicha to aksivach simatayba. Amen. Hey, that's it.